reference to the old beliefs of the Eskimo. For example, the buzzer or the disc attached to a string and whirled around or turned around and making a whizzing sound, or twirling, by twirling the disc makes that noise in such a way which reminds the players of a medicine man just about to start his practice of performance with his art. And the man, unseen by the others, whether in a darkened room or out in the hallway, would make start out or start making a noise emulating the whirring or the noise made the disc. And this reminds the players that perhaps this type of game may have some connection or reference to a medicine man practice. Now on stars, formation of stars, and the Eskimo names given to these formations in the sky. For example, the Big Dipper has an Eskimo name called Tuturuk. This has reference to some deer or big deer, and this was a common name among the coastal Eskimos in northern Alaska. Also, a question was asked how the stars were used as guides, or before the compasses came to the people from the civilized people, stars were used as directions or guidelines when a person is traveling out in the open. And the question was asked how these were used by travelers. One man started out by telling the two stars appearing just before daybreak over the horizon. Not far from the horizon, these two stars appear. One looks brighter than the other. And these, this man called the daylight stars, or the approaching of day, daylight. These the Eskimos call Agaruk. Agaruk. Previously, another man had mentioned these two stars appearing as the sign of a daybreak. And that when a hunter, an Eskimo, staying in his igloo, would every now and then get out of his dwelling and look for these two stars. Of course, in those days, there were no clocks to go by, and the one way that they can tell that the daylight will soon be on is with the seeing of these two stars above the horizon. In other words, if these two stars appear over the horizon, that means a daybreak will soon be on, and that he soon can be on his way to his hunting grounds. Another set of stars in a straight line, the three stars appearing every evening, every night, they also have a name for these three, and they call them the hunting men, men who are out out over the ice hunting. The Eskimo name for these three stars is Tuvirat, Tuvirat, which simply means that these are the hunting men out over the ice. And this would be, of course, on the coast of northern Alaska. This would be directly in connection with the people living on the coast. Tuvirat, the three stars appear over the ice or towards the ocean. And this, and by this direction, the men can tell that traveling towards the three stars would be walking away or traveling away from the land or off the shore. But the Big Dipper, or Totoruk, as they call it, appears over the land, that is, towards east, eastward. And when this is seen, a man out in the open can tell that walking towards them would be traveling towards the land. Now this is from the northwestern coast of Alaska. The Eskimos living in this region can tell their direction by looking at the three stars, the Tuwi'at, or the Big Dipper, Totoruk, showing them the direction of east and west. During nighttime, the Big Dipper seems to be turned upside down or near upside down. And this will indicate when it is in that position that it is the middle of night, or the daylight will be long forthcoming while the Big Dipper is in that position. And of course, with the coming of daylight, it turns around the other way, but by daylight the stars cannot be seen till night falls. Come again, and they would be in the upright position, and from this they can tell the time of night, whether it is early evening or middle of night, or even near daybreak by the position of the Big Dipper. One star, which is much brighter than the others, and pointed by the position of the Big Dipper, is also known as to the Eskimo as Uvlo'erpak, Uvlo'erpak, meaning the Big Star. And this also is an indication of direction of travel, using this Big Star as pointed out by the pointers of the Big Dipper, can be a guideline also to the people traveling during nighttime. During the course of winter time, in time there is another pair of stars appearing just below the first two, known as Agaruk. And when these last two appear, this would indicate that this is the middle of winter. Middle of winter, when the fur on wolverine or wolves is on prime. That is, this would be the time to hunt the wolves and the wolverine if they wish to use the fur for their clothing. The animals by this time are well furred and may be hunted for their clothing purpose. This will tell them that this is the middle of winter, or the very cold weather sets in. And of course, this will help to produce the length of the fur on the animals, making them just right for clothing purposes. To the old Eskimo, the earth on which man lives was thought to be a flat piece of land, and that the earth itself perhaps was stationary, that is, did not move. This they thought it was because of the same position that the stars hold each night, when the stars appear, there they would see the familiar group of stars, the Big Dipper, the North Star, the three hunters, and Ogruk. Those appear in the same position as viewed by man on the Earth. And for this reason, the old Eskimo thought that the Earth was stationary, because these same stars would appear each night in the same way. But of course later, the Eskimos learned that the Earth was round and not flat, and that it revolved. The old Eskimo had no knowledge that the Earth was round and that it was moving at all times, and that these stars appear during the night when the daylight is not there anymore. Of course, in the summertime, this is something different. Up here in the northern Alaska, we have a midnight sun and daylight 24 hours a day, and that does not give a person a chance to see the position of the stars in the summertime. But in the fall or in the dead of winter, these appear and were used as guidelines to the Eskimo in northern Alaska. The people have a name for this second pair of stars appearing below the first two, and the Eskimo name for these last two is Ogruchek, or Ogruchek, which in Eskimo simply means new Ogruk or young Ogruk. Of course, this last pair appear in the dead of winter, be about the middle of winter, and the Eskimos call them the Ogruchek. Considerable time was given in description of the group of stars, or the large stars, which are common to the people along the northern coast of Alaska. These were the Big Dipper, the Tutoruk. Another was the Ogruk, the two stars, which are the indications of the coming of daylight. And the other set, the other pair, which appear in the midwinter, when these two make their appearance in the sky below the Ogruk, which they call the Ogruchek, or Ogruchek, indicate to the Eskimos that this is the middle of winter and that the longer days will now begin to come. And of course, the Big Star is common to all people, the Big Star, or the North Star, as we call it today, is the Uvruvesugruk. Uvruvesugruk. This is the term used by the interior people, but to the coastal people, it is Uvruvesugruk. Uvruvesugruk. These two names for this one Big Star, or the North Star, means the same in the Eskimo usage. Uvruvesugruk, or Uvruvesugruk. And also the three stars in a line called Tuvigat. These were the hunting people. In another story, in referring to these three stars in a line, the story was that three men were out hunting on the ice, and they were blown away. That is, the ice where they on was parted from the shore ice, and they were blown out, way out to the ocean, and never came home. So when these three hunters realized that they could not get back home, they made their ascent to the sky, That is a walk towards the moon or near the moon, and place themselves as stars, three stars in a line. And this they did so that the other hunters will know the direction, how they travel, and how to keep away from going out into the ocean or away from the ocean, and that they had placed themselves in the sky to give direction to the other hunters that will be living after them. These they call the Tuvirat, and these groups of stars were given in detail, and beliefs on them were very similar to people, whether these people are on the coast or the interior. Another group of stars which appear to be in the sky not too far away from Big Dipper, but appearing in a cluster by themselves in much closer proximity than the big star, they call Sikopsitkat. This group to the modern world are called Little Dipper or Sisters. Little Dipper or Sisters. This group of stars do not have the formation as a Big Dipper, but they appear to be in a cluster, a group of stars close to each other, Sikopsitkat. Sikopsitkat, or the Little Dipper, to all people who participate in this workshop, appear to be seven stars, to be seven stars grouped together. These seven stars, of course, do not have a definite formation like the Big Dipper, but a group of stars in a cluster all by themselves, close to each other in appearance. The Little Dipper, or the Sisters, as called by the modern people. There seems to be a little discrepancy here about the naming of the two sets of stars. Three stars in a row, which we formerly said were the ones who were lost out in the sea, by another person who tells a story, says that they are the ones who came back to shore. But the three stars grouped together near this other set were the ones who were blown out to the sea. And the three main ones, which are seen easily by people on the earth, were the ones who came ashore, and because of the other three who did not make it ashore, they decided to climb into the sky and become the guiding stars to the other hunters after them. This a little discrepancy seemed to be a reverse from another storyteller, but the purpose of the stars in being placed on in the sky is the same: guiding light for other hunters that live after them. One participant also mentioned about this Sikopsitkat, for this formation of a Little Dipper. Makes its appearance towards the east in the early evening, and seemed to travel towards west overhead. And these interior people, seeing that this group of stars were overhead, means to them that this is the middle of night or midnight, And when this is, and when this appears in such a position, their grandmother or grandfather or their parents will tell the children it is about the middle of the night and it is time for the children to be in bed. This appears to be the midnight period when the sickle of Siskat or Little Dipper is directly overhead. And of course, appearing to be traveling towards west, that means the midnight has gone, and that it is the period of time is going towards daylight period, and this is the time when, of course, the people are asleep, watching the stars, or looking at the stars, and when the time comes that the stars appear to be shimmering, will also indicate that a storm or the big winds will be forthcoming. This can be the weather forecast when the stars appear to be shimmering or appear to be moving about instead of being stable as in other times. This is a warning to the people that there will be a storm or a big wind coming up when the stars appear to be such. Another couple from Selawik area told the story of what they had seen around 1963 or 1964. The wife had a habit of rising up early in the morning and go out of doors and look at the stars. They were the star observers and made periodic reports on the movement of stars or strange appearances in the sky. One morning, right about February or so, either 63 or 64, this woman, getting out of the dwelling, saw a star as though it was traveling from west eastward. It was a bright star, and she began to watch this star, which seemed to be traveling from west to east. And at the same time, she spied another star eastward, appearing to be traveling also. And these two stars were approaching to each other, and directly overhead, both stopped, but you could see the two stars, although being close, were not merged, but they stopped in one spot there. And while she was watching these two, after a bit, the star that came from the west started going back from where it came. That is traveling, started to travel westward, but the star from the east remained stable, did not move like the other star did. So each morning when she got out of the dwelling or the house and looked for this star, it always was there. She always saw it. And she concluded that this new star was there to stay, it appeared. But as time went on, she lost track of this one star and could not tell which one it was from the other stars in that area of the sky. Sometime after this, she heard from outside sources that the new star was to appear in the sky. This was predicted years before, and she thinks it was the same star that she had seen from the east, which made its position in the sky overhead and remained there was the new star that was predicted by the astrologers. By this storyteller, the new star that made its appearance was also known in the modern world as the New Jerusalem, or the appearance of New Jerusalem in the sky. Following the telling of this story of the new star, comments were made, and comments were that the newspapers or the press made a big play on this, that the new star was to appear, that is, would be seen from the earth, the appearance of a new star, which was about the time of 63, that is 1963 or 1964. And this seemed to coincide with the story of this one woman who had seen the star, the two stars, one traveling from west, one from the east, but the one traveling from west had returned to its former place in the west, whereas the one from the east remained overhead. The lady who told the story on the appearance of these two stars meeting in the sky overhead had heard that there were some satellites being flown in the sky, and when she saw the stars traveling from one from west and one from east, thought at first that perhaps these were the satellites that the human people on the earth were creating or causing to make flights in the sky appearing as stars. But to her, they appeared to be not the satellites, but the stars themselves. The question was asked if there was an Eskimo word for the longest day of the year or the shortest day of the year. In other words, the turning point when the days begin to get longer and the days begin to get shorter. In seeking the answer for this from the participants, there seemed to be no definite word for that period, only that when they saw that the days begin to get longer, they just say that. They say the days are now beginning to get longer. That the coming of spring or summer, and the in reverse, the days are beginning to get shorter, and that's the only description they seem to have for this period of time, and that of course is the coming of fall and winter. No Eskimo name for the turning points. The question came up on the eclipses of both the sun and the moon. Question was if the Eskimos knew of any of anything that might cause the eclipse of either the sun or the moon. What reason was there that the such occurrences happened every now and then? Charlie Jensen spoke only of what he had seen himself right around Kivalina area when such an occurrence took place. This was the eclipse of the sun. It became quite dark, and when this happened, the only unusual thing that he had noticed at that time, and the other people saw it also, that when the sun was in this stage, many whales, bowhead whales, seemed to appear in numerous number out in the ocean in that period of time. Charlie Jensen said that's the only unusual thing that he had seen when the eclipse of the sun took place right around Kivalina. Other than that, he did not know whether there were any stories or that he had not heard whether such an occurrence was to be feared or indicate some thing that might happen after this. On the eclipse of the moon, it was a common belief that when there is an eclipse of the moon, that the man of the moon would come down to earth and steal anything that can be seen around. For example, there may be some meat put away, or any visible thing that belonged to the people on the earth. If they are there, the man of the moon coming down will see these and steal them from the people of the earth. The instruction was that when such a thing occurs as the eclipse of the moon, for the people to hide whatever belongs they have, place them under cover, or even tie down the material on the caches that are stored on platforms outside of the house. And when this is done, then the moon cannot steal these or take them with him away from the earth. This was the instruction of the old people. Another precaution that was instructed by the old Eskimo was that when this occurs, the meat or any of the property all around can be covered over with ashes. The ashes will make it impossible for the man of the moon to see the property or even the meat that was stored away on the platforms. Ashes was used so as to make it invisible for the man of the moon to see, and this way the property can be saved. And also another instruction was given when a person was out in the open and there happened to be some antlers or horns of a caribou around, for the man to put this over his head and walk in traveling. This way the old Eskimo believed that the man of the moon coming down would be seeing not a man, but which the man of the moon thought would to be a caribou. And in this way the man cannot be molested or bothered by the man of the moon out in the open. Man from the interior makes his report on this, that the old Eskimo, when the eclipse of the moon occurs, for the people in the house to stop all sort of work. That is, they did not do anything at all, but stayed inside the house. All work was stopped, and the people did not even dare to sleep while the eclipse was on. This man said that his grandmother used to get out of the house to see if the eclipse was over every now and then, but she would be fully prepared as though she was going to go on a long travel. But she made her report that as long as the eclipse was on, everybody in the house would not dare to do anything at all. And this would keep on perhaps a good part of the night even. They did not sleep, but sat still in the house till the eclipse was over. And after that, of course, everything became normal in their livelihood. The storyteller for the state states that this taboo was once broken by a woman. Instead of observing the prescribed precaution, she kept on working in the house, doing her sewing while the eclipse was on. And while she was doing this, heard that there was some rustling or the skylight was being bothered by someone outside. She stopped swinging right away, but it was too late, and the legs of a man started to go through the skylight. Of course, the skylight was made out of seal guts, and it was easily broken. And this happened at one time that the legs of a man appeared in the skylight of this house where the woman was sewing. So it was strictly forbidden for any person to do anything in the house while the eclipse was on. One man told a story who is from Kobuk, upper Kobuk River, which is not too far away from the Indian country. This is a story that he told, and that he saw with his own eyes, that in the Indian country they do the similar thing, the same thing, covering their meat caches and their belongings with ashes. And this man, the storyteller, saw with his own eyes that they act exactly the same way as Eskimos in preventing their things to be stolen by the man of the moon. The Eskimo version and the Indian version seem to be the same in protecting their belongings at the time of the eclipse of the moon. Now on the eclipse of the sun, one man had heard the story that this occurred during the life of his grandfather, during the time of his grandfather's time, and the people were getting ready to have a dance in a kusgi, or a meeting house. They were getting ready for a big time affair, but one person getting out of the kusgi reported that the eclipse of the sun had already started. And the medicine men told all other people to stop making preparations for anything, even for the dance or for any activity or any work. So these people, getting back to their own homes from the kusgi, had to be prepared and covered their heads with their hoods. The men even putting on some sort of a covering over their heads, and pull on their hoods even over the eyes so that they wouldn't see the sun in its stage of eclipse. This was a taboo, and in this way they were able to get back to their homes, but not to do anything whatsoever. And they just sat still in their homes until the eclipse of the sun was over. But at this time, when the total eclipse of the sun took place, it seemed as though that everything had become real cold. Now this happened during the middle of the summer, and the interior was very warm, very hot. But with the eclipse of the sun, this turned things over the other way. It was chilly, it was cold, and they prepared to be dressed warm as though it was in the winter time. But this was over, and when the sun came back, it was normal again, and the weather turned warm as before. Another similar story was told of a woman who was out in the open gathering material for her livelihood with her little son. And while they were out there, she noticed that the eclipse of the sun had already begun. And knowing this to be harmful to the people on the earth if they were out in the open and going about with their work, she took her little son among the brushes, laid her little son down, and she beside the boy, trying to make themselves as much as invisible as they could. Of course, they did not get around going around while this eclipse was on. But according to the story, even if it was in the middle of the summer, warm, when the eclipse was on, a total eclipse was on of the sun, it had become a very, very cold. Even hoarfrost was seen on the earth. This story is in line with the other stories told before, that with the eclipse of the sun, the earth can become very cold. Even hoarfrost can be around, and that the air becomes very, very cold. But they did not dare get around, walk around, but just stay as still as they could be and try and hide themselves from any person or any man from the sun will not be able to spot them or see them. The description and demonstration of a specially innate knife for creating things out of wood was here demonstrated by a man. This specially made knife has a very short blade but curved, and the handle is long enough and curved so that the handle itself may sort of have wound around the arm, the lower arm. And of course was this knife was held next to the blade. And this specially made knife was used in making things as snowshoes or any kind of woodwork that required real fine work on it. Sometimes this is used to mark a straight line where holes may be made, and using the mark as a guide guideline, the row of holes can be in a straight line. The Eskimos have a special name or a certain name in their language of this type of a knife. They call it Mitlik. Mitlik. Specially made knife used in creating things that are that require real fine work. In work that requires measuring, the Eskimos use their hands or their arm to measure with. Of course, they had no rules like the modern people have, but the measurements may be made to the width of the hand or even the fingers are used, and sometimes the forearm is used for measuring, and then the span of the hand itself may be used as a measuring. It also may be inserted here that the women folk in making clothing can also use or did also use their hands in measuring, especially if they are making a foot gear. They use the length of the sole with their hands and fingers. They have a certain way of knowing for whom they make the garment, that the certain way of measuring being done with the use of the hands is quite normal and measures just the way they wanted the piece to be measured. One man who is a local man of Kotzebue tells his story that it was a general knowledge of the people all around, that is, people are living away from Kotzebue, like up the Kobuk River or up the Noortok River, when they are short of food and are near starvation, would know that they could come down to the vicinity of Kotzebue and fish. They know that there's nothing else this garden, that there's no caribou or any kind of a game not obtainable. They know they can get down to Kotzebue, and even if the fish was a bullhead, this can be fished through the ice. But outside of the bullhead, in time, the sea fish can be gotten this way. But of course, they have to have equipment to make fish holes with. And although their tools were primitive, like their ice picks, which are made out of bones or out of caribou horns, it takes them a long while to make a hole to fish in. But they do make them large enough so that they would not close